Let us pray again. We can never pray too much. Lord Jesus, you are the radiance of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And after making purification for sins, you sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, where you are now ruling and reigning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You, Lord Jesus, are the King of the universe. And we humble ourselves before you this morning, and we thank you that we can even come to you because of what you have done for us. Thank you that you always live to make intercession for us. And I pray now, O Christ, that you would reveal yourself to us this morning through the preaching of your word. I pray that you would show a glimpse of yourself to us this morning so that our minds would be renewed and our hearts would be transformed in the truth of your word. And I pray that as we gaze upon you, Christ, that everything else in this world would fall into its proper place. Help us by the power of your Spirit to seek the things that are above and to set our minds on you, Christ Jesus. For we ask this in his name, in your name. Amen. Well, good morning. As always, it's a joy that we get to gather together to worship our great God. As we begin this morning, I'd like to start with our words for kids. And the idea behind this is just to give a few words. I do this each week. We give a few words, and then the idea is just write down the word, and every time you hear it, just put a tally mark in it. And the idea is just to kind of help you pay attention. Our key words for this morning are Christ, seek, and worth. Christ, seek, and worth. This morning we are continuing to work our way through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we've made it all the way to chapter 3. So please take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. As we've been working our way through Colossians, our theme for the whole letter is Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. And in our last couple passages, we have seen the philosophies and the practices of these false teachers that were being promoted at the church in Colossae. And today, sometimes I get excited and I trip over my words. Right? But as we transition into chapter 3, Paul's going to now show us what we are to believe and how we are to live. And so that's what chapter 3 is all about. And we're just going to look at the beginning part of it this morning. So chapter 3, beginning in verses 1 through 4. Let's look at it together. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It's God's holy word that cannot and does not fail. This morning I want to start with something that could perhaps be a controversial statement. And I want to do that just to get your attention. And I also want to do that because even if you disagree with me, which this is not a hill I'm going to die on, I want you to be thinking critically and biblically about things. And it's interesting. I wish you could see. You guys are more engaged now than you are. We like controversial things. My statement is this. I do not believe that self-esteem is a biblical idea. I do not believe that self-esteem is a biblical idea. Now, according to a quick Google search, self-esteem is how you feel about yourself, including your own confidence in your own abilities, your morals, or even your self-worth. Self-esteem is how you feel about yourself. Self-esteem is how you value yourself. Self-esteem is how much worth you ascribe to yourself. And those who promote self-esteem say that if you have low self-esteem, you just need to value yourself more. You just need to give yourself more worth. Now, I don't believe that self-esteem is a biblical idea because I don't believe that we should be finding our value and our worth in ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have any value or any worth because we were all created in the image of God, and so we have value and worth in that way. And if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, then you have extreme value as being a beloved child of God. But even in those examples, your value and your worth is coming from outside of yourself. It's coming from God. So again, I don't believe that self-esteem is a biblical idea because I don't think that we should be finding our value and our worth from ourselves. Now, if we shouldn't be finding our value and our worth in ourselves, where should we be looking? Where should we find our value? Where should we find our worth? Beloved, find your worth in Christ. That's my main point this morning, and I got 2 points that are flowing from that. So find your worth in Christ first by seeking the things that are above, and this is coming from verses 1 through 2, and find your worth in Christ second, because Christ, if you are a believer, Christ is your life. Verses 3 through 4. So that's where we're heading this morning. Let's begin by point 1. Find your worth in Christ by seeking the things that are above. And again, this is coming from verses 1 through 2. Paul begins this glorious passage in verse 1. Look at it again with me. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now, is there anything in this verse that sounds familiar? Peggy, you're shaking your head. Is it seek the things that are above? Maybe you've heard that. Okay. That's one of our main themes for the whole letter of Colossians. It's the third part of our theme that Jesus is supreme. In him you have all the things that you need, so seek the things that are above. So our third part of our theme is coming directly from this verse. In fact, I would say if you're looking for a summary verse of this whole letter, this would be the one. If you're looking for one verse to memorize in this whole letter, this would be the one to memorize. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So Paul begins, if then you have been raised with Christ. In this context, he's following off the question that he asked in chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, where he says, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why do you submit to human teaching? We looked at that last week. So he's saying, if with Christ you died, and now he's transitioning, saying, if with Christ you have been raised, then seek the things that are above. And that's the point that Paul is making. If you have been raised with Christ, then you should set your mind on the things that are above. If you have been born again, you are to seek the things that are above. Now, before I talk about what it means to seek, I actually want to look at what we are to seek first. So what are we to seek? Well, this verse tells us. Look at the end. The end of verse 3 says that we are to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In essence, we are to seek Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This verse is talking about the ascension of Jesus. So Jesus rose from the grave, and then he appeared to many people over a period of 40 days. And after those 40 days, he ascended, or he went up into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, where he is now the king. And he is actually still in a physical body. So that's just an interesting thing. Jesus is still in his glorified body. But our passage in Colossians 3 says that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And Jesus is seated not because he is tired. Jesus is seated because he is finished, and he is now ruling and reigning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's how other passages describe it. Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning as the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He alone has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light. To him alone belongs honor and eternal dominion. He has been seated far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Beloved, Jesus Christ has gone into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God, and every angel, every authority, and every power has been subjected to him. Or to say it in another way, in everything, Jesus Christ is preeminent. Jesus is supreme. Amen? And he, being supreme, is worthy of all of the honor and the glory and the power, for from him and through him and to him are all things. He alone is worthy of all of the worship. He is of infinite value. He is of infinite worth. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so let me ask, would you rather find your worth in yourself, or would you rather find your worth in the risen, ascended Christ Jesus? Jesus Christ is the King, and he is seated at the right hand of God. He is the one that we are to seek. So let's go back here. We are to seek the things that are above. We are to seek Christ the King. And this is not a suggestion. It's not saying, oh, you know, it might be good for you maybe if you seek the things that are above. No, this is in command form. It's saying, seek the things that are above. Seek Christ Jesus. To seek is to devote yourself to reaching whatever your goal is. It is to strive for something. It is to try with all of your might to obtain that thing. It is to devote yourself to whatever it is that you are seeking. When I was a junior in high school, I was ranked third in the 400-meter dash, and I ended up getting hurt, and so at state I ran hurt, and I got dead last. And so I devoted myself, I made the goal to win state in the 400 my senior year. And so, like I said, I devoted myself to it. I trained hard, I ate right, I sacrificed many things. I devoted myself to winning state. And this is what it is like to seek. To seek is to devote yourself to whatever it is that you are seeking. And in this case, we are to seek the things that are above with everything that we've got. We are to devote ourselves to seeking after Christ. And I plead with you to devote your lives to seeking after Christ. Even in the example I gave, what is a gold medal compared to Christ Jesus? Beloved, I plead with you to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I plead with you to count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, your Lord. I plead with you to count all things as rubbish in order that you might gain Christ. I plead with you to lay up treasures in heaven. I plead with you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I plead with you to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow Christ Jesus. I plead with you, find your worth in Christ. Seek the things that are above. Set your minds on the things that are above. And that's actually how Paul continues. You can look at verse 2 with me. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And this is also not a suggestion. This is a command. Set your mind on things that are above. To set your mind on something is to give it careful consideration. It is to give all of your mental attention to whatever your goal is. In the case of me trying to win state in the 400, I wasn't just devoted to it with my effort. My mind was consumed with it. To set your mind on something is to have your mind be consumed with it. Beloved, let your mind be consumed with Christ Jesus. Give all of your attention to Christ. Set your mind on the things that are above. Set your mind on Christ. Do not set your mind on the things of this earth. I was at a funeral a few years ago, and in the casket of the person that they were burying, some family members had put some of his favorite things in the casket, golf clubs, a deck of cards, his fishing pole, and it was one of the most heartbreaking things that I've ever seen, because it showed that the focus of his life was in all of these worldly things. Beloved, what do you think? Do you think you can take those things with you? You can't. No, I'm not saying that you can't ever go golfing or you can't ever go fishing or whatever it may be. But what I'm saying is don't set your mind on those things. Don't live your life for the things of this world. Don't center your life on the fleeting pleasures and treasures of this earth. Don't set your mind on the earth. Set your mind on Christ Jesus. Instead of focusing on the things of this world, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Instead of enjoying selfish, fleeting pleasures, enjoy the presence of Christ where there is fullness of joy. Instead of being overwhelmed by the cares of this world, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything that you need will be added to you. Instead of focusing on yourself, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and fix your eyes on Christ Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy or where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do not gain the whole world and lose your soul. One time a millionaire was asked, "How many millions of dollars will be enough for you?" And he said, "The next million." In other words, it will never be enough. There is nothing in this world that will ever be enough. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy your soul. Only Jesus Christ can. Do not gain the whole world and lose your soul. Beloved, set your mind on Christ. Seek the things that are above. And we can truly sing the song that we sang earlier. You may have all this world, but give me Jesus. Beloved, find your worth in Christ. Find your worth in Christ by seeking the things that are above. And find your worth in Christ, because if you are a believer, Christ is your life. So, second point this morning, find your worth in Christ because Christ is your life, verses 3 through 4. Paul continues in verse 3, look at it with me. "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Paul begins this verse with the word "for." Now, this little word "for" is a conjunction, or what I like to informally call a connector word, and it's connecting with the verse before it, and it's giving us the reason why we should do verses 1 and 2, why we should seek the things that are above. In other words, seek the things that are above, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Set your mind on the things that are above because you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have died. Now, this does not mean that you have died physically. It means that you have died to your flesh. It's kind of like a snake shedding its skin. The old skin gets shed off and it dies, and then the snake is free to enjoy the new skin. The old skin is gone, the new skin has come. Beloved, in Christ, your old self is gone and your new born again self is here. Now, we've talked about this a couple times the last week because it's been brought up in the text, but you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but it is Christ who lives in you. Your old self was crucified with Christ so that you would no longer be enslaved to sin. If you are in Christ, you have died to the things of this world. You no longer have to live for worldly passions and pleasures. You no longer live under worldly rules and regulations. You have died to the world. You have died to your old self. Or dare I say, beloved believer, you have died to finding your esteem in yourself. You have died to finding your value in yourself. You have died to finding your worth in yourself. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You have been united with Christ in his death and resurrection to the point now that your life is hidden with Christ. You have been united to Christ Jesus. It's kind of like if you've ever gotten fries, you know, you get like two fries that are stuck together. Have you ever had that? I don't know how that happens or why it happens, but you get two fries that are stuck together. The two fries have become one. Well, in a similar way, you have become one with Christ Jesus. His sinless life has been applied to you. You have been crucified with Christ. You have been raised with Christ to newness of life. Christ now dwells in you through his Holy Spirit. You have been united to Christ. Your life is now hidden with Christ. And this means that your esteem is now in Christ Jesus. Your value is now in Christ. Your worth is now in Christ. Your identity is now in Christ. Well, I ended up winning state in the 400 my senior year, and I actually won by almost a full second. And for a year, I was not a believer at this time, that may be helpful to know, but for years after winning state, my identity and my value and my worth was wrapped up in being a state champion. It was wrapped up in my own selfish accomplishments. But how much value is in being a state champion versus being in Christ? How much worth is being found in anything in this world compared to finding your worth in Christ? It doesn't compare, because it cannot. Find your value in Christ. Find your worth in Christ. Now Paul concludes our passage in verse 4. Look at it with me. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Beloved Christian, is Christ your life? Is he everything for you? Do you live your life completely in him and for him? Because, beloved, Jesus Christ is your life. You have been hidden with him. You have been united to Christ Jesus. As I said before, your worth is in him. Your value is in him. He is your life. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. My friends, Jesus is going to appear at the end of all things. He's going to judge the living and the dead, and he's going to make all things new. And when he comes, if you are united to Christ by faith, you will appear with him in glory. When he comes, if you are united to Christ, you will be glorified. That's what this passage is talking about. To glorify, to say it in a very simple way, to be glorified means that our bodies and our souls will be completely saved. In other words, we will have a resurrected body and there will be no more sin. Let's just meditate on this for a few moments. If you are united to Christ, one day you will get a glorified body. Jesus Christ is going to transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. We will all be changed, and our perishable bodies will put on the imperishable, and our mortal bodies will put on immortality. And in our new bodies, there will be no more suffering. There will be no more cancer or diabetes or chronic illness or joint pain or fatigue or whatever it may be, because we will have glorified bodies. And in our glorified bodies, there will be no more sin. We will no longer have to struggle through idolatry or anxiety or pornography or anger or jealousy or gossip or broken relationships. We will be holy. We will be like Jesus. And that will be absolutely, overwhelmingly amazing. But that's not even the best part. The best part is that we will be like him so that we will get to see him as he is. We will get to see the holy God of glory and splendor in all of who he truly is. And when we see him, our redemption will be completely fulfilled. Our joy will be fully completed. We will encounter perfect happiness. Our souls will be completely satisfied, and we will experience pleasures forevermore in the presence of God. And when we see Jesus face to face, he's going to wipe away all of our tears, and there's going to be no more death or mourning or crying or pain anymore, because he's going to make all things new. To quote a song that I don't even know if I can do it, but to quote a song that Milo and I love. He's gonna make it right, child. He's gonna make it right, child. The Lion Lamb is coming. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Beloved, why seek the things of this world when you can seek the glory of Christ? Why find your value in the things of this world, or why find your value in yourself when you can find your value in Christ? Why find your worth in yourself when you can find your worth in Christ? Find your worth in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is supreme. In him you have all that you need, so seek the things that are above. Amen. Let us pray. O God of glory and grace, we thank you for your word this morning that has given us just a small picture of who you are, Christ Jesus, and a small taste of what it will be like when you come back at the end of all things. God, we long for you to come back. Jesus, we long for you to come back to make all things new. And so we pray that you would come quickly. And Christ, as we wait for you to come back, I pray that by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word, that you would help us to seek the things that are above. Help us to set our minds on things that are above and not on the things of this earth. Help us to see Christ Jesus in all of his glory. And again, I pray that as we look to Christ, that everything else would be put in its proper perspective. God, would we be a people that looks to you and lives for you, and that Christ is our life? And again, Lord Jesus, come quickly. For we ask this in Christ's name, and we pray and we wait. Amen. This morning we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together, and so I'd like to invite the deacons to come up with me.